Hopefully you've got your Bible out, because this morning we want to spend time looking at what the Bible says. You know, the passage in Hebrews chapter 11, or Hebrews chapter 1, tells us that we have given to us a revelation of God, that we hold in our hands not just some product of mankind, but we have that which has been given to us by God, revealed to us through His Son. When you get to chapter 2, we're introduced to a topic in chapter 2 that I want us to spend some time talking about this morning, because it's a topic that tends to be one that's misunderstood today. It's a topic that tends to be one that perhaps raises some level of controversy among Bible students as to what the Bible actually teaches and what the responsibility of Christians is to actually practice. It's not by accident that when you come to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, it is not by accident that you have these four words that are on the screen used together in the same verse. You see, in the Bible, we read about signs, we read about wonders, we read about various miracles, and we read about gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we might read about them in different places throughout the Scripture, but we may not always read about them together in one place, but we do here in Hebrews chapter 2. And I want you to look at these first four verses of this chapter this morning, and I want us to try to gain a better understanding of what does the Bible say about signs and wonders and miracles and gifts. You see, if we go out into the religious world, we can learn about what the religious world thinks about these things. If we go out and we ask Bible reading folks, we can find out what man believes about these things. But what the religious world and what man believes is not going to be that which judges us on the day of judgment. That which will judge us is that which has been revealed to us in the Word of God. And it's laid out here for us to see. Sometimes sermons are intended to be motivational, to provoke people to make changes in their lives and to examine themselves. This morning's a little bit different. This morning it's not so much motivational as it is, let's get into the Word of God. And let's this morning study the Word of God together, for us to come to a biblical understanding of what these signs, wonders, miracles, various miracles and these signs of the Holy Spirit, what they did in Bible times, what their purpose was, and to see is there any place that they have for us today. Hebrews chapter 2, the writer says, therefore, we must give all the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And brethren, we need to do that. To give the more earnest heed to the things that are taught in the Word of God, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken, the Old Testament word spoken through angels, proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Think about what he says in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This great salvation, verse 3, here's what the Bible says. This great salvation that came about, that Jesus brought, number one, the great salvation, was at first spoken by the Lord. Then, number two, it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. How was it confirmed to us? God bearing witness with signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about these four things, what are we talking about? When the Bible talks about these four things, what is the Bible talking about? And why does the Bible use four different words? Because these four different words are very similar, and oftentimes they're talking about the very same thing, just using a different word to talk about it. The Bible uses the word signs to talk about the purpose, to talk about the design of these actions. They were signs because they were intended to prove something. They were a sign like you would see on the road because they were intended to show you something, to prove something that God was trying to show. And so in Mark chapter 16, perhaps a passage that you're familiar with, In Mark chapter 16, God says there would be various signs that would follow those who believe. The Bible says that God would give them the power. These believers, the Christians who would follow after Christ, they would be given the power to cast out demons. They would be given the power to speak in new tongues. They would be given the power to take up serpents, to handle serpents. They would be given the power to drink deadly poison, to drink deadly drinks, and nothing would happen to them. They were given the power to cast out demons, to lay hands on those who were sick. And all of these, the Bible uses the word signs, all of these were intended to be signs, to show something. And we'll talk about what that something is. The Bible uses the word wonders and uses it often in the same context. Sometimes you're going to read signs and wonders together a lot in your New Testament. The reason being, that's what God wanted the reaction to be. That's what God wanted those who saw these miracles, saw these signs done. That's what God wanted them to do when they saw. They wanted them to stand in wonder, in awe, in amazement at the power of God. If you had been there, don't you think you would have been amazed by what the power of God was doing? When you pick up the book of Acts and you read about the miracles that are done in the book of Acts, you read about some of these wonders, how they cast out demons, how they took a crippled man, a paralyzed man, a lame man, and they gave him the power to walk. But some of the wonders are like in chapter 5 where they were bringing their sick out and they were laying them so that just the shadow of Peter might cast over that sick person and he'd be healed. How can a shadow heal somebody? That'll make you stand in wonder, won't it? It's like what Paul did in Acts chapter 19 in the city of Ephesus, where they were taking handkerchiefs and aprons that had been laid on Paul's body. And they were taking just those handkerchiefs and aprons, taking them to sick people, taking to those who were possessed by demons, and they were healed and those demons were cast out because of a handkerchief or an apron. What good is a handkerchief or an apron? Is to make you stand and wonder at the power of God. These were miracles to show the nature of these actions. These were not natural things. These were not things that would happen every day. If you pick up a concordance and you look up the word miracle in the Old King James, the word miracle is found more in the book of John, the Gospel of John, than in any other book in the whole Bible. You read about all of these miracles in the book of John, and then some of these also from the rest of the gospel accounts. You think about Jesus turning water into wine. You think about Jesus raising the dead, and it wasn't just Jesus who had the power to do that. His apostles had the power to raise people from the dead. You think about all of the miracles, all of the wonders, all of the signs that were performed by the Lord and by His followers. What do they have to do with us? Do they have anything to do with us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about what the New Testament calls these gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit. The word gifts is used to show us what the source is. That these powers, these signs, these wonders, these miracles, these were not man-initiated. This was not the power of man that was involved. They were gifts given by God. They were powers and abilities given by God in order that they might perform them. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 miraculous powers. 9 miraculous gifts that some Christians had in the first century. It was not just any wisdom. It was the word of wisdom, a supernatural word of wisdom. It was not just knowledge, it was supernatural. The word of knowledge, supernatural knowledge. It was not just a faith that was delivered to some. There was a supernatural faith that was given to some of them. And you go on and you look at this list of these things, the gift of healings, the working of miracles, the gift of prophecy where some could speak on behalf of God without reading anything, without knowing anything. They were just used as the mouthpiece of God. Those who had the gift of discerning of spirits, knowing right and wrong and who was telling the truth and who was not. Those who had different ability to speak in tongues and those who could interpret the tongues. All of these were not natural abilities. These were all supernatural abilities given as gifts to the Christians in the first century by God. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are these things still happening today? Can these things still happen today? If I turn on the television and there's someone on the television who's claiming to be able to do some of these things, there's someone on the television who may be even going through the motions of making it look like he or she might be doing these things. What I want us to do this morning is to say, what does the Bible say? Let's come back to this revelation from God. Let's come back to the only source of wisdom that we have. What does the Bible say? Come to a conclusion that can be garnered from the Word of God, and then take that and to make sure we apply it in our lives and in our teaching. Very quickly this morning, I want us to look at the purpose that the Bible gives to these signs, these wonders, these miracles, these gifts of the Holy Spirit. What was the purpose that God gave? Go back to Hebrews chapter 2 and you're going to see it. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 shows us the purpose that not man, but God gave to these gifts. But you notice at the very end of verse 4, that these signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit were done according to the will of God. They were never exercised outside the will of God. These were not powers that man had in and of himself. These were powers that God gave to him, and so they were exercised not according to man's will. They were exercised according to the will of God. Well, what was God's will? Look at what is said in verse 3. God's will for these signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit was to confirm the message that they were preaching. Look in verse 3. Bible says, so great this salvation was that at first it was spoken by the Lord, then it was confirmed by those who heard Him. You see, those in the first century, those people who lived in Corinth, those people who lived in Ephesus, those people who lived in Athens, they didn't hear Jesus. They weren't around Jesus. They never got to hear Jesus speak for Himself. So the only people that they heard were these people who were coming after Jesus, these apostles, these other preachers. And they would come and they would say, here's what Jesus said. They would come around and they would confirm that this is what Jesus said, but how were they able to confirm it? How would you know when somebody said, here's what Jesus said, how would you know if that's what Jesus really said? Because even somebody today can say, here's what Jesus says and say something, and that's not really what Jesus said. Have you ever ran into somebody who did that? Surely they must have done that in the first century too. How did they know if what somebody said Jesus said is something that Jesus really said? The verb tenses tell us that they confirmed to us by those who heard Him, God bearing witness. How was it confirmed? Because the power of God was behind them doing these things, bearing witness with the signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's how they knew. That's how the hearers could know that the message they were hearing was either from God or not from God. If the message could not be verified, if it could not be confirmed by the power of God, then you knew it was not the Word of God. The Word of God was going to be confirmed by the power of God. But Hebrews chapter 2 is not the only place that tells us this. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says it almost exactly the same way. You remember in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 is where we got the list of those signs? Down in verse 20 is where it says, they went out preaching, but somebody was going with them. They went out preaching, and as the believers went out preaching, the Lord went with them, working with them, and confirming the Word. How was God confirming the message that they were preaching? Through the signs that they were performing. The Word of God in the first century was always confirmed by the power of God. And if the power of God was not present when words were being spoken, they could have no confidence that what was being spoken was the Word of God. The emphasis, the focus was always on the message. Those who had the ability to perform miracles didn't just go out to perform miracles just to put on a show. They didn't rent out the local theater and put on a show and charge admission to see them perform miracles. It always had a purpose. And the purpose was always to confirm what they were preaching. In fact, sometimes you read about Paul when he would not heal even one of his friends. Read 2 Timothy chapter 4, where there were those who were infirmed. Here's a man who has the ability to heal. But Paul would not even use his power, his ability to perform miracles to heal a friend, because that was not the purpose for which he had that power. God had a purpose in mind for these things to be done. And the signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts, your abbreviation, SWMG, all of these things were used to confirm it, to present evidence, to say, here's the evidence to prove that this message is authentic. It's true. It's genuine. It's from God. And if that message was not brought forth with that sign, wonder, miracle, or gift, no confidence it was from God. So here's the purpose. God's purpose for these signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts, to confirm the message that was being preached. The purpose was to create faith in the heart of the believers. In John chapter 20, John said, truly Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book, but these are written that what? That you may believe. Here's this book of John, the one I said that has the word miracle in the Old King James more than any other book in the Bible. And at the end of it, John says, and he did a lot more miracles. What's the purpose of these miracles? So that you will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The focus is on the message. The focus is on the result being sought, that faith might be developed in the heart of the believers. But look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the spiritual gifts, the miraculous powers and gifts that were endowed upon certain Christians in the first century. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, we're given another purpose for these gifts. They were given, verse 12 says, in order to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. God gave this power to be able to do these signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts in order that the word might be confirmed. When the word, the message was confirmed, it would create faith in the heart of the believers, and it would equip the saints to go and do the work of God. If you read through your New Testament, and if you try to find what is the purpose that God assigned to these things, this is what you'll find. And I encourage you to read through your Bibles in your New Testament and find if there's any other purpose that God ever gave to these things being performed. And I don't believe you'll find one. If that's the purpose, God's message was being preached, it had to be confirmed. They had to be able to prove that what was being taught was actually from God. If that was the purpose, what would the duration of those kind of things be? How long would that kind of thing last? Meaning, did God intend for these signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, did God intend for those to last forever? Did He intend for those to last until Jesus came back at the end of time? Did God intend for those to last 2,000 years? Should those things still be happening around us today? Well, the very purpose that we looked at, the very purpose that God gives to these gifts, to these miracles, limits it. It limits the duration. Because if a purpose is fulfilled, then it no longer needs to be done. The purpose was to confirm the message, because they were not sure if the message being preached was from God or not. Is that purpose Is that purpose needed any longer? Let's look at this. The duration was limited by the purpose that God gave to it. But the duration for these signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts was also limited by those who were endowed with the power to do them. The apostles, they were given the power to do these miracles. They were given the power to do these signs and these wonders. They were given the power to endow these gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the apostles only had this power because they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had been immersed with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." That's verse 5. In verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles. They begin to speak in tongues. Not unrecognizable languages. They begin to speak in languages, real languages, but ones they had never studied. Where did they get that power? As the apostles, they got that power from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit baptism only happened 2 times in all of the Bible. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. And by the time Paul writes Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul says, God says, there is only one baptism. Not water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. There can't be both. There can only be one. And if there was only one baptism by the time that Paul wrote that, which one would it be? Water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism? Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them." Baptizing them in water. The Great Commission is for us to go and baptize people in water. It's a commission that goes on and on and on. That's the one baptism that God intended to last. But Holy Spirit baptism would not. So someone is not going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit any longer because God says there's only one baptism that remains. And so if people are not going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit anymore, that means they're not going to be given that power to perform these things in the same way that the apostles were. But there were Christians besides the apostles. There were other Christians in the first century who had the power to perform these signs and these wonders, these miracles and these gifts. Where did they get the power? They didn't get it from baptism of the Holy Spirit. They got it because the apostles laid their hands on them. Wish we had time to look in Acts chapter 8. But go home and read Acts chapter 8. Read about when Philip goes to Samaria. Read in about verses 5 and 6 where Philip is performing miracles. He is doing these signs and these wonders in the city. And they are amazed because they had seen Simon the sorcerer do these kind of magic trick kind of things. But here comes Philip, not with a trick, but with the power of God. And they believed. The very purpose for which, to confirm the message, that they might believe, they were baptized, they became Christians. But the Bible says in verses 12 and 13 that Peter and John, two apostles who were in Jerusalem, went down to Samaria. They went down there in order that they might lay their hands on these new Christians that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Reason being that Philip, who was not an apostle, could not do that. Philip could not impart the gift of the Holy Spirit. Philip could not impart those powers. Only the apostles could. And so the Bible says when Simon the sorcerer, verse 14 or 15, when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He wanted that power. That was the only way that the power to do these things was transferred from the apostles to those Christians in the first century. And those Christians could not then pass it on to others. So what does that mean? If the apostles got it from baptism of the Holy Spirit, but baptism of the Holy Spirit is no longer happening because there's only one baptism. And if the other Christians who were able to do these things could only do them because the apostles laid hands on them, but they could not then lay their hands on somebody else to impart this gift, what happened to that ability? What happened to the power to do signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts? It ceased. When the apostles died and could no longer lay their hands, and when those who had the ability died and could not impart it, that ability stopped. Why would God let that stop? Why would God have all of these signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts? Why would He have it stop? Because the duration had fulfilled His will. Very quickly, we're going to look at two passages, and then I'm going to let you have this. Ephesians chapter 4. God tells us the purpose. And not only the purpose, He tells us the duration. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, you start with this word of time. That these gifts, these miracles, these wonders were going to be done till something was going to happen. The word till means there's a point out here that we need to look at. It's a point in time. Till something happens. Until we come to the unity of the faith. Not unity of just faith. Unity of the faith and the knowledge. When would man come to the unity of the gospel system? Come to the unity of the knowledge of Christ? We're going to look at this in a minute. But when would that happen? Because Jesus says, when that came, when the time came, the unity of the faith, the unity of the knowledge, then this would no longer be needed. That these gifts and these signs would no longer be needed because man would then become perfect and complete. No longer would he be as a little child. I hate to run through these, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Where you have a parallel concept to you have in Ephesians chapter 4. Same thing you have in Ephesians 4. God says there's a point out there till this happens. And when this happens, these things will no longer be necessary. You have the same kind of words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God uses two words of time. When something happens, then something else will happen. When and then. Well, when what happens? When something happens, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Bible says, whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Everything's in parts. The knowledge that he said would vanish away was a partial knowledge. We know in part. In the first century, there were certain Christians who knew parts of the gospel. There was another Christian who would know another part of the gospel. There would be another Christian who knew another part of the gospel. Remember the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12? The supernatural word of wisdom, supernatural word of knowledge. But remember what Ephesians 4 said? Till we come to the unity of the faith. Till we come to the unity of the knowledge. When all of this knowledge was brought together, united, then those gifts would no longer be needed. Well, when would that knowledge all come together? We know in part, we prophesy in part, and it even goes on and says the time would come when these things that are in part, they're going to be done away with. They're no longer going to be needed. When was that going to happen? When that which is perfect is come. And I've put in parentheses here, the word perfect here means complete. Notice the contrast in this passage. Here's a part, 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 here's a part. All of these gifts were parts. But God says the complete package is coming. And you won't need the parts of knowledge anymore. The complete, the perfect package is coming. And when the perfect, complete package comes, you won't need a part of the knowledge over there and a part of the knowledge over there because you'll have all of the knowledge right here. Do we have today all of the knowledge? Do we have today the complete package? Do we have all of those parts of knowledge in one place? You've got it sitting there right there in your lap. They didn't have this. They didn't have the completed revelation of God in written form that they could pick up and carry like you do. And so when a preacher came and said, here's what Jesus said, he needed to be able to prove through the power of God, through signs, wonders, and miracles, that that's what Jesus said. But if a preacher comes today and says, here's what Jesus said, guess what? You can see, did Jesus really say that? You don't need the messenger to confirm it anymore because God has given you the complete package. He's given you all of the knowledge that all of those Christians had in the first century. He's put it all together in one place for you. Aren't you glad you live today? Aren't you glad that your brother doesn't know something that you don't know? Or aren't you glad that God hasn't revealed something to him that he hasn't revealed to you? God has revealed exactly the same thing to everybody in this room that he's revealed to everybody else in this room, and it's right there in your lap. God, who at various times in the past, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And we've got it right here in this book. And you and I today no longer need. The purpose for those gifts has passed because we no longer need the message confirmed. We've got eyes, we've got ears, and we've got the Word of God completed. That's what God's Word, that's what the Bible says about signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts. These things were done by the power of God, by His will, not by man's. We have the completed revelation of God. It's done. Jesus told His apostles that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Holy Spirit either did that or He didn't. Jesus said He's going to teach you all things. Holy Spirit either did that or He didn't. But if He taught them all things, and if we've got all things, then if you have all things, what are you missing? You're not missing a single solitary thing. In this Bible, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In this Bible, we have everything that has been once for all delivered. That means it's not going to be delivered anymore. There are not going to be any further revelations of God. You see, a new revelation would have to be confirmed by the power of God. There aren't going to be any new revelations because His revelation is complete. And because His revelation is complete, then all of the things that went along with confirming it, those things that were in part, they've been done away with. And the very purpose that those signs and wonders had, the very purpose that they had, is now fulfilled in this book. Do you want to have confirmed to you that what I have preached this morning is the Word of God? It's not going to be done by any miraculous gift. It's going to be done by you picking up your Bible and seeing if that's what the Bible says. That's how you can confirm whether someone is speaking the Word of God or not. And I would encourage you and I would beg you to do that this morning, to see if what has been said is so. The purpose of those miracles was to create faith. Guess what the purpose of this book is? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. They're written so that we can believe. The purpose of those miracles was to equip the saints. Guess what the Bible says? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped. The purpose of those was to equip the saints. That's what the Bible says it does for us. We have in our hands God's will for our lives. We don't need somebody to prove it. We just need to obey it. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2. The whole discussion in Hebrews 2 was about what Jesus said and what was being confirmed. And what Jesus came and what Jesus was saying, what Jesus was teaching, was about a great salvation. If you have any questions about what has been discussed this morning, please don't hesitate to ask. We don't want to do or to teach anything else in this place other than what the Bible says. That is our desire and our goal. And it's the same when it comes to our salvation. We don't want to do or teach anything about salvation that's not taught in this book. The Bible says if you want to be saved from your sins, that you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that with all of your heart? That's why these things were written. Truly, Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe. Do you believe it? Do you believe what this says? If you do, then this morning, why don't you do what the Bible says and repent? Turn away from living in sin and living for sin and start living for God. Confess your faith this morning just like they did in Bible times and be baptized into Christ. Baptized for the remission of your sins. One cannot and will never receive the remission of his sins unless through a penitent heart and faith in that heart is buried in water, calling on the name of the Lord to wash away his sins. Have you done that? When you do that, God will write your name in the book of life. And then he calls upon us to be workers, steadfast, abounding in his work for the rest of our lives. I know this lesson has been different than some. It's more of a teaching than it is a motivational. But may we all be students of God's word and not take what somebody else says just for what they think it says. We're going to be judged by what Jesus says. He who rejects me and receives not my words, Jesus says, has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. If you're not ready to be judged by the Lord, then come down these aisles as together we stand and sing.